Task 1. You will hear 5 short extracts in which people are talking about difficult situations they have been in. For each speaker, 1 to 5, choose T if the statement is true, F if the statement is false, or NS if the information is not given. You will hear the recording twice. Now, you have 30 seconds to look through the statements. Now we begin.
Speaker 1. There was a storm blowing as I walked along the cliffs, and down below I noticed a rowing boat being thrown about by the huge waves. I took out my phone to call the rescue services or the police, but there was no signal. If the boat had hit the rocks, it would have been smashed to pieces. So I ran along the cliff top until I came to a small bay. I ran back and shouted to the crew to row towards it as hard as they could, and eventually they managed it. There, the waves pushed their boat into the bay, where they were able to take shelter.
Speaker 2.
It was my first night out in that city, and when I saw the last bus home disappearing round the corner, I knew I had a problem. It was cold and I couldn't afford a taxi, but I didn't want to bother my host family by asking them to pick me up, so I set off on foot, telling myself it'd only take me an hour or so. 4 hours later, I was still walking. I was soaked through and my hands were frozen. When I eventually reached the house, the family said how worried they'd been and asked why I hadn't phoned. By then, I wished I had.
Speaker 3.
I realised straight away I'd been overcharged, but it was only by a small amount, and my first thought was to forget about it as I was in a hurry. Then I noticed the assistant glance at me, and somehow I knew it had been deliberate. I gently pointed out the error, but he became quite aggressive. Not wanting to get into a row about it, I asked to speak to the manager. And when she came over, I explained that I hadn't been given the correct change. The assistant angrily denied this, but the manager pointed to a security camera right above us. He immediately gave me my money.
Speaker 4.
Carlos, Alfonso and I had been camping in the mountains, and it was time to leave. Just then, a dense mist descended and soon we realised we were completely lost. I was in favour of keeping going along the path, while Carlos suggested heading downhill. Alfonso, though, wanted to phone Mountain Rescue for help. The two of them had just started arguing when a shepherd appeared. I asked him which way we should go, and he said we'd taken a wrong turning at the bridge. So, we headed back the way we'd come, turned left by the river instead of right, and within 20 minutes, we'd reached the village.
Speaker 5.
I was doing a cross-country run when suddenly I tripped and fell, feeling a sharp pain in my ankle. As I lay there, I wondered whether I'd be able to stand on it, maybe even carry on running. But I remembered what I'd been taught as a nurse, so I kept it still, checking to see if it was broken. It didn't seem to be, so I decided against calling an ambulance, but I didn't want to take any chances, so I phoned my sister. She immediately offered to come and collect me, and within 15 minutes, she was able to help me to the car and take me home.
Now you have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now, listen again.
Speaker 1.
There was a storm blowing as I walked along the cliffs, and down below I noticed a rowing boat being thrown about by the huge waves. I took out my phone to call the rescue services or the police, but there was no signal. If the boat had hit the rocks, it would have been smashed to pieces. So I ran along the cliff top until I came to a small bay. I ran back and shouted to the crew to row towards it as hard as they could, and eventually they managed it. There, the waves pushed their boat into the bay, where they were able to take shelter.
Speaker 2.
It was my first night out in that city, and when I saw the last bus home disappearing round the corner, I knew I had a problem. It was cold and I couldn't afford a taxi, but I didn't want to bother my host family by asking them to pick me up, so I set off on foot, telling myself it'd only take me an hour or so. 4 hours later, I was still walking. I was soaked through and my hands were frozen. When I eventually reached the house, the family said how worried they'd been and asked why I hadn't phoned. By then, I wished I had.
Speaker 3.
I realised straight away I'd been overcharged, but it was only by a small amount, and my first thought was to forget about it as I was in a hurry. Then I noticed the assistant glance at me, and somehow I knew it had been deliberate. I gently pointed out the error, but he became quite aggressive. Not wanting to get into a row about it, I asked to speak to the manager. And when she came over, I explained that I hadn't been given the correct change. The assistant angrily denied this, but the manager pointed to a security camera right above us. He immediately gave me my money.
Speaker 4.
Carlos, Alfonso and I had been camping in the mountains, and it was time to leave. Just then, a dense mist descended and soon we realised we were completely lost. I was in favour of keeping going along the path, while Carlos suggested heading downhill. Alfonso, though, wanted to phone Mountain Rescue for help. The two of them had just started arguing when a shepherd appeared. I asked him which way we should go, and he said we'd taken a wrong turning at the bridge. So, we headed back the way we'd come, turned left by the river instead of right, and within 20 minutes, we'd reached the village.
Speaker 5.
I was doing a cross-country run when suddenly I tripped and fell, feeling a sharp pain in my ankle. As I lay there, I wondered whether I'd be able to stand on it, maybe even carry on running. But I remembered what I'd been taught as a nurse, so I kept it still, checking to see if it was broken. It didn't seem to be, so I decided against calling an ambulance, but I didn't want to take any chances, so I phoned my sister. She immediately offered to come and collect me, and within 15 minutes, she was able to help me to the car and take me home.
Now you have 30 seconds to choose your answers. That is the end of task one. Task two. Listen to the story and choose the best answer, A, B, or C, to questions 6 to 10. You will hear the story twice. Now you have 30 seconds to look through the questions and answers. Now we begin.
Hi. Today I'm going to tell you about the project I've done all about gorillas, an animal that's interested me ever since I was little. I remember being given an amazing book about them with loads of wonderful pictures in it. That was because I'd watched a film about them when I was about 7 and they'd really captured my imagination. Unfortunately, I couldn't find that book when I was doing my project, which was a shame. My uncle also helped keep my enthusiasm going. He's a teacher now, but for a time he had a job as a tour guide in the southwest of Uganda, which is one of the gorillas' main habitats. They can also be found in Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He's a keen photographer in his spare time, and he sent me lots of photos he took while he was there. It's generally agreed that there are several types of gorilla: lowland gorillas, cross river gorillas, and also mountain gorillas, which were the ones my uncle saw and took pictures of. These names obviously reflect the environments they're typically found in. I'll show you some of his pictures later on, but the majority of the ones I've got for you, as well as the stuff I'm going to tell you about, come from a website called junglelife.com. I also used another website called animalways.com. Although it was less useful for this project, it did have some interesting stuff about conservation work being done to help protect gorillas. People often think of gorillas as large, aggressive animals, thumping their chests and making scary noises. But I discovered from my research that they're not actually fierce at all. They're peaceful, unless they're threatened in some way. Gorillas are mainly herbivores, which means that although they are very large creatures, they manage on a diet of plants. They eat all sorts of shoots and leaves, for example. They can occasionally also be seen eating insects, apparently, which I hadn't realised. And despite the fact that they live in a very hot climate, these animals are very rarely observed drinking. They seem to get enough water from their diet without needing anything extra. A group of mountain gorillas usually consists of one or two younger males, a few females and their young. This group is led by the dominant male, who's known as the silverback. It's a good name because it refers to the way the adult male's coat turns from black to grey as he matures. And you won't be surprised to hear that the blackback is the name given to the less mature male gorillas. Like other apes, gorillas build nests. Many apes, for example chimpanzees, make their nests in trees, whereas gorillas make theirs on the ground, pulling down branches to do this. The young share a nest with their mothers, but once they're about 3 years old, they move into their own. Gorillas don't have many predators. The main animals that are a threat to them are leopards, wildcats, and of course other larger gorillas. However, sadly, humans are their greatest enemy, and that's the same story with many endangered animals today. If you'd like to find out more about these wonderful animals, there are a number of good books about gorillas in the school library. I'd suggest you read this book by Carola Newcomb. It's called Gorillas in the Rainforest. There's another book by Thomas Paine called Gorillas in the Wild. I don't think that's quite so interesting, in fact, but both these books are better than Gorillas in Danger, which is a bit depressing. Anyway, I'd like to show you some of the photos I...
Now you have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now, listen again.
Hi. Today, I'm going to tell you about the project I've done all about gorillas, an animal that's interested me ever since I was little. I remember being given an amazing book about them with loads of wonderful pictures in it. That was because I'd watched a film about them when I was about 7, and they'd really captured my imagination. Unfortunately, I couldn't find that book when I was doing my project, which was a shame. My uncle also helped keep my enthusiasm going. He's a teacher now, but for a time he had a job as a tour guide in the southwest of Uganda, which is one of the gorillas' main habitats. They can also be found in Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He's a keen photographer in his spare time, and he sent me lots of photos he took while he was there. It's generally agreed that there are several types of gorilla: lowland gorillas, cross river gorillas, and also mountain gorillas, which were the ones my uncle saw and took pictures of. These names obviously reflect the environments they're typically found in. I'll show you some of his pictures later on, but the majority of the ones I've got for you, as well as the stuff I'm going to tell you about, come from a website called junglelife.com. I also used another website called animalways.com. Although it was less useful for this project, it did have some interesting stuff about conservation work being done to help protect gorillas. People often think of gorillas as large, aggressive animals, thumping their chests and making scary noises. But I discovered from my research that they're not actually fierce at all. They're peaceful, unless they're threatened in some way. Gorillas are mainly herbivores, which means that although they are very large creatures, they manage on a diet of plants. They eat all sorts of shoots and leaves, for example. They can occasionally also be seen eating insects, apparently, which I hadn't realised. And despite the fact that they live in a very hot climate, these animals are very rarely observed drinking. They seem to get enough water from their diet without needing anything extra. A group of mountain gorillas usually consists of one or two younger males, a few females and their young. This group is led by the dominant male, who's known as the silverback. It's a good name because it refers to the way the adult male's coat turns from black to grey as he matures. And you won't be surprised to hear that the blackback is the name given to the less mature male gorillas. Like other apes, gorillas build nests. Many apes, for example chimpanzees, make their nests in trees, whereas gorillas make theirs on the ground, pulling down branches to do this. The young share a nest with their mothers, but once they're about 3 years old, they move into their own. Gorillas don't have many predators. The main animals that are a threat to them are leopards, wildcats, and of course other larger gorillas. However, sadly, humans are their greatest enemy, and that's the same story with many endangered animals today. If you'd like to find out more about these wonderful animals, there are a number of good books about gorillas in the school library. I'd suggest you read this book by Carola Newcomb. It's called Gorillas in the Rainforest. There's another book by Thomas Paine called Gorillas in the Wild. I don't think that's quite so interesting, in fact, but both these books are better than Gorillas in Danger, which is a bit depressing. Anyway, I'd like to show you some of the photos I...
Now you have 30 seconds to choose your answers. That is the end of the listening task.